You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. Bright early start on Racing Radio. Darren Owen, Andrew Mount and Ross Briley, the team in the studio. Lingfield, Chepstow and Musselburgh are the afternoon meetings. It's Newcastle and Dundalk throughout the evening. And if you're a betting TV viewer as well, you've got plenty to get stuck into. Lingfield, Chepstow and Newcastle, all live and free on betting TV this Friday. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me to look ahead to the action is Mr. Luke Elder. How are you, Luke?
I'm good. This is becoming a very regular occurrence now. We were saying last time that we're not really allowed to do this together anymore, but you know they've run short again.
Oh, back by popular demand, some would say.
Yeah, no, not that.
It's not that.
Not
it?
That. 100% not that.
We've got good racing to get stuck into at the weekend, so it'll be nice to hear your thoughts on some of the big races there. And we've also got a busy day coming up on Friday, so without further ado, let's get stuck into it. The 2:40 at Haydock, one of the feature races this Saturday, is the Peter Marsh Handicap Chase. It's a limited handicap that is a grade 2, 3 miles and 1.5 furlongs in front of them. At the time of recording this, it is 5-1 the field, with Acting Last the market leader. It's 11-2 Definitely Red. Geronimo is 6-1, Midnight Tune 6-1, along with Prime Venture. 8-1 Champers on Ice. Vintage Clouds is 8-1, 10-1 for Claude and Goldie, along with Flying Angel as well, and 20s for Red Indian. Some good handicap chasers in there, and as open as you would expect, given that it's 5-1 the field.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Acting Lass is the horse that a couple of years ago we thought could be a horse that might improve into being a fringe grade one performer. Look, things haven't really happened for Acting Lass, but he's come back to a bit of form the last twice. Won at Chepstow in the hands of Paddy Brennan at 2 runs ago, and I thought ran a perfectly good race behind Regal Encore at Ascot last time around. That's a track that Regal Encore loves, and on a real going day, he's a very hard horse to beat at Ascot. Look, a mark of 150, it's going to be pretty tough. It's going to be very, very tough going as well for all of these over at Haydock. I'd say there's a bit more rain due on Friday, and probably a bit more on Saturday, knowing Haydock as well. You would maybe just think Acting Lass, the handicapper, might be getting to grips with him now for Harry Fry and Sean Bowen. You couldn't confidently say that he won't run his race, but for now, especially off an £8 higher mark than that last win, I'd be happy enough to look elsewhere than Acting Lass.
And I know it's an absolute bugbear of yours when people get the gender of horses, well, maybe not get it wrong, but when they call a horse it. Well, Acting Lass being a boy,
yeah, this is
a real confusing one for people.
I mean, there's Carol's Destrier, Carol's Legacy, there's so many, but Acting Lass really should be a girl.
Should.
But either way, Acting Lass is not an it.
He's not an it. That is one thing we do know. Definitely Red has been there and been in some big races over the last few years. Is this lowering his sights slightly, do you think?
A touch, you'd say. I mean, this is a stepping stone, is what it is for Definitely Red. He's rated 156. He's going to go towards the Grand National. Would Connections really want to be winning this? Not saying anything untoward, but Connections, I don't think, would be too disheartened were Definitely Red to finish an encouraging fourth.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wins this, 156 becomes 160-ish, and suddenly in the Grand National, it's a hard enough task already, depending what sort of weight he gets. I don't know. Definitely Red, I'd be happy enough taking on. Look, he ran a really good race last time around in the Beecher behind Walk in the Mill. He travelled okay throughout that race. He obviously ran at Weatherby in the Charlie Hall behind Bally Optic. He's not quite. He's just the archetypal, not quite a grade one horse. He's a decent grade two horse, but he might be a national horse in the next few months or so. But again, I'm not massively convinced about Definitely Red for this weekend.
We haven't got to your selection then yet. So,
no.
So what are you going for?
If we were going down the betting, it would be a while, because Red Indian, the outside of the field, is a selection.
Wow.
I think he's massively overlooked in the betting. I think this sort of trip is exactly what he wants at Red Indian. He was tried really highly at the back end of last year. He went to the Cheltenham Festival and ran in the novice handicap. Now he's more of a front runner, so it's always going to be a hard enough job for Red Indian to try and do that. He was up with the pace. 2.5 miles is a bit on the sharp side for him, especially when it's soft ground. But it was pretty. It was decent enough ground, wasn't it? I mean, we're not talking about bottomless at Cheltenham like we're talking about with Haydock here. Obviously ran over hurdles the time after that behind All Petit Soir at Aintree. He had been tried in some very, very good races. Yes, go back earlier on in the year, he had some okay form when beating Noah Hasselhoff in very heavy ground at Ayr. Ross Chapman, the regular rider for Red Indian, is no longer on board for this weekend anyway. Ben Jones takes the ride and a further £5 off. That's a big positive in the jockey ranks, because Ben Jones is, are we calling him a free £5 yet? He's riding very confidently. He's had a fantastic season. Kelly Morgan, I think, is one of the most underrated trainers around as well. She does a brilliant job with them. She had a very good bumper horse not too long ago. Is it Time to Chill? I think it was. Obviously, Red Indians, one of them. Top Wood as well would be another one of those. But look, both Kelly and her sister Laura are very, very capable trainers. I do think Red Indian is very overpriced at 20-1 at the moment. I mean, we'll talk about horses coming here fresh, 287 days off the track. Red Indian goes really well fresh. He beat Noah Hasselhoff on a 229 day absence last season. The seasonal reappearance before that, back in 2017, was third behind Cool Cody. Before then, his seasonal reappearance, he managed to win at Foss last, beating Jameson. He's a very useful individual, Red Indian. Fresh is no kind of issue whatsoever. And off a mark of 143 less Ben Jones' £5 claim, I think off a very low weight, he could be a real live outsider.
Fair enough. Running from out of the weights, isn't he? So that Jones claim will offset that a little bit, at least. 20-1 and drifting in the betting. So
yeah, that's the problem with definitely Red in the race. It makes life harder for a few others. But look, I just think Red Indian is overpriced. If you were to put Red Indian in a different yard, and no disrespect to Kelly Morgan, I say she's very underrated. But if you were to put Red Indian in a bigger yard, 20s would not be around.
Fair enough. So going for a bit of a fly then at Haydock. That was the 240, the Peter Marsh. Always a good race. And so is the Clarence House Chase, a Grade 1 coming up at Ascot on Saturday, 3:35 post time. And it's a rematch between Defi de Soy and Under Sir. 4-5 versus 6-4 in the betting between that pair. 10-1 then for Janica. Capeland is 20-1 as well. No, not as well, just 20-1. And Maracuja, the outsider, at 66-1. Looking forward to this, because they served us up a real treat earlier on in the season when running in the Tingle Creek at Sandown. And if it's anywhere near as thrilling a finish, we're in for another treat.
Absolutely so. I mean, Defi de Soy, he's raised a few eyebrows this week, hasn't he? Mainly Philip Hobbs, actually, by saying, we might go for the Ryanair.
Yeah, which is strange when he's been doing so well at 2 miles.
I mean, he's a horse who this season, obviously, he's beaten Politolog at Cheltenham. He won the Tingle Creek. If he were to win this and they were to go for the Ryanair, I think there'll be a few names being thrown around for connections with Defi de Soy, because it would be more of a, we don't want to run against Altior kind of thing.
It's just running scared, isn't it? That's the thing.
It would be exactly, like, yes, don't get me wrong, Defi de Soy would have a fantastic chance in a Ryanair, and he'd probably go very close to winning it. The trip's going to be no kind of issue. He won a JLT. He's won over 2.5 plenty times in the past. But I don't know. He's a horse that I absolutely adore. Defi de Soy. I wasn't a massive fan of him when he was a juvenile hurdler, despite he was very good. He had that year of nothingness when the Philip Hobbs yard weren't right, but last year I completely fell for him as a novice chaser. He had a fair few very good races against Lost in Translation. It was great to see those two beating each other up time after time and coming out on top in almost alternate races. But at 4-5, when I think Under Soy, yes, he's 12 years old, but he's got everything in his favour, I'm not sure I'd be rushing in at 4-5 for Defi de Soy. I mean, only a neck separated them at Sandown.
Yeah.
Do you disagree?
I don't disagree.
But there's always a but coming there.
But, you know, soft ground is, you know, people say it's in Under Soy's favour, but it didn't stop Defi de Soy last time.
Yeah.
Small field again didn't stop.
It's not a negative for Defi de Soy. I just think it's more of a positive for and so.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a lot softer at Ascot this weekend than it was at Sandown at the start of
If it starts to get heavy, then I'd say it would make a bigger difference.
Yeah. I mean, the ground is soft at the moment. When that was last updated, I'm not sure, because they've had Storm Brendan.
Yes.
Yeah, we've had that all week. I've been down in West Sussex for the early part of this week as well, and it has just rained and rained and rained. It's going to be pretty hard work at Ascot come the weekend. And obviously we're talking about Undersowers as well. This is a horse who's been to Ascot twice, and he's won at Ascot twice. Defy Lascelles never run at Ascot.
Yeah.
That's got to be some kind of question mark. And you look at the horses Undersowers beaten. Yes, he beat Sider Grugy and Traffic Fluid one of those years. He beat Sperodek the other year. In what was probably not the strongest, definitely wasn't the strongest renewal of the Clarence House, but I do feel like Ascot is a track that does play to a lot of Undersow's strengths. He seems to jump around there almost effortlessly. I would happily side with the 12-year-old over Defy Lascelles for all that. I cannot wait to watch this race once again, and I hope we get to see it again at Cheltenham.
Yeah, it looks good, doesn't it? We can't wait for that on Saturday. And Defy Lascelles 4-5, 6-4 under Sir, a rematch of the Tingle Creek to look forward to on Saturday at Ascot, and another Grade 1 prize up for grabs as well, of course. We've got action before that, so we'll get stuck into some of Friday's racing. Newcastle is where Luke has gone for his two selections. The first race that he has chosen is the 5.15, which is a 5 furlong handicap, and the market at the moment headed by Heath Charnock at 15-8, 9-4 Commander Han, Venturous is 4-1, 7-1 Big Les, 11-1 Alsvinda, and 12-1 for Doc Sportello, a small field. And for me, Luke, I'm struggling to see why Heath Charnock is so strong at the top of the market at 15-8. I mean,
yeah.
I personally would look to take him on here.
Yeah, I am going to take him on, Heath Charnock. I mean, we'll start with the obvious part. Stall 1 over 5 furlongs at Newcastle is a nightmare. Yes, it's a smaller field, so it's not as much of a concern. We've got 6 runners as we're talking at the moment, but ran over 6 furlongs last time around. I think the drop to 5 will help out Heath Charnock, but you kind of get the feeling that he's been a bit of a disappointing horse for Michael Dodds, say especially last year, where he ran a couple of decent races behind the likes of Intuitive, who's now, I think, trained over in Dubai, might be running as we're speaking this evening. But he has some okay form. I just feel he never really built on that at Heath Charnock. Callum Rodriguez takes the ride, but I mean, 15-8 as we're talking, not for me.
Yeah, what do you take him on with?
Venturous would be the one. He's a horse that I loved last year, and I thought there was going to be a big race in him. There almost was at Goodwood. I think I napped him at 16s when he got chinned in the Stewards Cup's consolation race by Poyle Vinny. He then ran at the Curra. He ran a really good race when I think the bias was completely against him behind Buffer Zone. He was 7th in that. He went to Air behind Golden Apollo, finished 10th, not beating that far in the William Hill Air Silver Cup. On that sort of form, he's got to take a lot of beating in this. When you look at the opposition, you look at Heath Charnock, who isn't really a winner. Commander Han is exactly the same as that. He shaped okay on a couple of occasions for Stuart Williams since joining Tom Morley's operation, we'll call it now. I wouldn't trust Commander Han all that much, if I'm being honest. Alsvinda is becoming sort of the same. I just think Venturous has got a golden opportunity to win this. And his form, I don't think he's ever won first time around, but he isn't bad off the back of a break. He generally runs his race. He's had 118 days off the track. His return last year finished second, being a neck at Wolverhampton. Before that, was running, say, okay after a break when he had a breathing operation as well behind Confessional at Chester. He generally goes okay first time up, and I think this is a race that's well within his reach.
And they've got All-Weather Man of the Moment on board as well. Ben Curtis booked to ride, which is another positive. 4-1 in the market, and I could see the angle there with Venturous. 6.45 Newcastle is the second race Lucas picked out. It's another sprint. This is a 5 furlong handicap for the 3-year-olds only, and She's Easy on the Eye is the 5-2 favourites. Cursed of Al Jafera is 11-4. It's 3-1 for Hot. K-Art is 4-1. 12-1 for Tiltilly's Rock. It's 18s La Chica Lobo, and Queen Moya is the outsider at 33-1. Non-runner is Les Adrieux. Field of 7, which means each way angles are trickier. What do you like in here, Luke?
I was happy enough taking on the market leader of the Quinn's yard in She's Easy on the Eye, was fifth last time around behind Lizardria. So I imagine Connections will be delighted that Lizardria isn't taking up this engagement. Was drawn in stall one as well, grants you his charge. I just don't see why She's Easy on the Eye should be a 5-2 chance. Ran a lot better at Wolverhampton, in fairness, the time before, finishing behind Ogogo. But that last run, yes, Ben Curtis has taken the ride, replacing Faye McManaman, which is, no disrespect to Faye McManaman, a jockey upgrade. Ben Curtis is riding winners left, right and centre at the moment. We hope he rides another one with Venturous, as we've talked about already. But I just don't think there was much that went that wrong for She's Easy on the Eye last time around. Ran okay, didn't look like a ready-made winner, especially one that as I say, 5-2 at the moment, you wouldn't be getting that excited about things. I imagine Sean Quinn could be listening to this thinking I'm talking a load of nonsense. And I hope for his sake he is.
He says that all the time, every time he's in, anyway.
To my face as well, which is the most hurtful thing. He just doesn't care
you
about
it. You do well
feelings.
To hold back the tears some days.
Yeah, though. Well, you know, you do what you do.
Well, you take it on. She's Easy on the Eye. What'd you go with?
Coast of Alfajera is the one in the race alongside Kayart, really, that could be absolutely anything. Tom Eves taking the ride for Kevin Ryan. You got the feeling last year that Coast of Alfajera could really improve into the three-year-old season. Obviously, first run as a three-year-old, only turned three just over a couple of weeks ago, almost 2.5 weeks ago, but has had a few things changed. Had a bit of time to grow and mature a little bit, and also they've gelded Coast of Alfajera as well, which might just help. You look back at last season, travelled well enough at Musselburgh on the 2nd of April, was one of the really early two-year-olds, actually. Just, I think, maybe went weak on the Kevin Ryan team, maybe just needed a bit more time than Connections would have thought. Was seen at Carlisle, again, travelling pretty strongly back in May. And then I didn't think ran that badly at Nottingham, for all that he was beaten behind Visible Charm in what looked to be an okay race. At one point in that, you thought that Coast of Alfajera was really going to play a hand in the finish, and there was a bit of support around for him on that occasion. It could just be that he needed that time, and the gelding operation is going to help him just focus his mind a little bit on the task at hand. A mark of 63 I don't think overrates him whatsoever. He's got plenty of wiggle room from that mark, and as I say, currently at 11-4, I think he at that price he would be a bet. I think down to about 2-1 I'd be happy enough siding with the Coast of Alfajera. I just think that there could be a fair bit more to come in handicap company.
Coast of Alfajera, the selection then for Luke. Of the two that you've put forward there, what's your stronger opinion?
Can you ask me tomorrow?
After the races?
Yeah, after the race. I honestly think both of them have got really good chances. If I was pushed just towards Coast of Alfajera, but I'd find it very hard to split. I fancy them both sort of equally.
Okay, just a quick line as well before you go. Have you noticed we've got a Venetia Williams train runner in the Rich Richie Silks?
Yeah, so interesting one, isn't it? I mean, when I was first asked to do the podcast, I sort of looked at the racing and your eyes instantly drawn to Chepstow, and you think, no, there must be a nice few races or a nice few handicaps. It's probably not the strongest of Chepstow cards we'll see, but an intriguing novice's chase. First start for Venetia Williams in Royal Pagai. Is how I'm going to go for it. Venetia Williams has had some success with French recruits or ex-French recruits so far this year, with the horse whose name escapes me at Newbury, went on to get beaten at Kempton. But Royal Pagail, I mean, will handle the ground form-wise over in France. It's always very, very hard to try and decipher that form from France to England or Wales in this situation. Has been off the track for 449 days, and it's going to be a pretty hard task as well, because New Tide is no slouch for the Kim Bailey yard, a yard that are in okay at form at the moment. And Vision Day Flow we know is a very, very good horse indeed. Obviously he was beaten behind Champ last time around at Newbury in Grade 2 company. Then before then he was a pretty classy hurdler, wasn't he, behind the likes of Top Notch, you know what I mean, Harry at Punchestown. Look, if Vision Day Flow jumps better than we've seen him in the past, he could still make into a nice enough novice chaser. But it's going to be a fascinating race to watch for many reasons.
It is only three runners, but it is a massive intrigue, that race. That's the 250 at Chepstow, and just a reminder, you can watch that on Betting TV live and free as well. The full card at Chepstow, along with Lingfield and Newcastle and the card at Ascot on Saturday as well, live and free on Betting TV, so you'll be able to see that great matchup in the Clarence House all for free on Betting TV. Do check it out, williamhill.com and on the William Hill app. Thank you very much, Luke. Been a pleasure as always. Best of luck and enjoy the action on Friday.
Yeah, I look forward to the next one happening about 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
It seems to be the continuation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's going to become a regular thing now.
I hope not.
And if you are looking to listen into Racing Radio as well, 11:50 a.m. start time, Darren Owen, Andrew Mount and Ross Briley are the team in the studio. It's Lingfield, Chepstow, Musselburgh in the afternoon, Newcastle and Dundalk to keep us entertained in the evening. All of that is live on William Hill Racing Radio as well. Do join the team for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.